How many of you all have had the opportunity to actually see this movie, Overcomer? Just a few people. I bring that up because it's a pretty powerful message that's there in that just that little two and a half minute video that I just showed to you all this morning. I remember Laura and I, we went to go watch the movie back in first September. And I will tell you, if you have not seen this movie, even if you rent the DVD, get a box of tissues. Laura and I went in there, and we were expecting, you know, that there would probably be a few tears just based on the message, because if any of y'all have had an opportunity to be able to watch any of the movies, which I'm pretty sure most of y'all that have been done by the Kendrick brothers, there's probably not a time at some point of the movie when you're watching that there will be the water faucet that is turned on. That's what Laura says. Laura likes to say, "I'm leaking." You know, she doesn't want. She was like, "No, no, I'm leaking. I'm okay." But you know, just as I mentioned here, it's a pretty powerful message. Who are you? That's basically the simple question that was asked by the gentleman that was in the hospital. Just a little bit of background. I'm not going to ruin the movie for anybody. I promise, but what happened was, is Alex Kendrick, his character, he decided that he was going to go to the hospital with his pastor because they had a church member that was in the hospital, and they wanted to go visit them. And so he was like, "Hey, let me go see real quick the church member." And when he said that he wanted to go see him, they met up at the hospital. He was running a little bit behind, getting out of school, met up with him. And the pastor had asked him, said, "Hey, please stay out here for a minute. The family's inside. Let me just go check and make sure to see if they want any other visitors." And so he stood outside, and he was standing there. And then all of a sudden, he had leaned up against the door where this the other gentleman was in the room, and the door opened. If you looked at the gentleman there in the video, he kind of looked like he was looking around and stuff like that because he couldn't see. He was blind. So he asked, "Who's there?" And Alex introduced himself, and he got to talking to him and kind of just getting to know the guy a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you know, the pastor comes out of the room and grabs him. He says, "Hey, I'm going to go see this other person that I came up here to see at the hospital, and I'm going to go in the room with my pastor now." And the gentleman asked him, he was like, or made a comment to him, said, "Hey, it's really great to meet you and all that, and I'm glad that you came in here and talked to me." And Alex goes, "Well, I'm going to pray for you." And as you saw in the video, when the gentleman asked him if you prayed for me, he said, "No." How many times have you heard other brothers and sisters in Christ tell you, "I'm going to pray for you"? I ask that question because I know in this church, there's a lot of prayer that's bathed. But there are sometimes, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say I'm guilty, when I tell a buddy of mine who's going through a hard time that I'm going to pray for him, there's probably times that I don't pray as much as I need to for that buddy of mine. So a little bit later on in the movie, the main character, one of the principal sits down with the main character and starts going through trying to bring her to salvation. And she points out Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. And the scripture that we're going to be in today is Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 11. It's going to be Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 11. If you couldn't see it on the board behind me, because I had it there, it's Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 11. I tell you that, for me, this has been a big impact. I've talked to the pastor many times, and I'll tell you right now, you have a godly man that leads this church that when he gets up here behind the pulpit, it is nothing but an overflowing of the Holy Spirit in him when he preaches. This, for me, is a subject that has been nothing but an overflowing of the Holy Spirit that I have felt like I've needed to share with you today. Because I dug into the scriptures, I started looking at this, and I started going, "Okay, how are you looking to define me, God?" I asked that question. I asked, "Who am I?" Because many of you all know, there's a couple big life changes that are happening in fingers in the hash house. And I say that because many of you all have seen or heard me go, I have my retirement orders in my hand. I went to pick them up on Friday. Here in about 7 or 8 months, I'm going to be retired from the military. I may sound excited, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm scared. I am. You know, Sarah, Jake Noah's trying to get into the Air Force. That's our last boy that's trying to leave the house. Sarah here graduates in a couple of years, and Laura and I are going to be empty nesters, you know. And I just saw you, Mike. Raise your hand. I'm going, woo! Yeah. But when you talk to Laura, because she has been mom for the last 20-something years that we've been married, she's been mom a lot longer than that because we have a 25-year-old. But the 20-something years that we've been married, she is getting a little nervous, scared about becoming an empty nester because she's been one of those who have been constantly providing and taking care of and going to see our children, you know, and being there for our children. And now our children are starting to move out on their own and become their own identity and stuff. So, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, these clothes that I have on today definitely does not define who I am. I am in Christ. It doesn't. All the ribbons, you can take away all the ribbons. You can take away the jacket, take away the deployments, every other award that I have on this jacket. This should not be the thing that defines me. It shouldn't. But there's a lot of people out there today that hold on and hold on and continue to hold on to the things of this world. They do. And that should not be something that I do. And that is the reason why I wanted to approach this subject today of who are you. So as you have turned to your scripture, or if you still need to turn to your scripture, there's one thing, and many of y'all who have heard me talk before, I always like to throw the bluff, the bottom line up front. If there is anything that I want you to get out of this message today, I like to say it right up front, and I'll probably hit it at the end again, because that's the main thing that I want you to think about. You know, I know some of you all, and I've seen it. I have seen it being up here and all that. Some of y'all start nodding. Y'all start dozing. Y'all start doing that college look of, hey, let me look at my Bible and hold my cheeks. It may look like I'm reading something, you know. I'm guilty, too. I am. I will be the first to tell you I'm guilty, too. But the thing is that's the reason why I like to tell you the bottom line up front first. And then I will reemphasize it again at the end, because that's probably, if anybody's got a problem dozing off, that's probably the two times you'll be awake when we start and when we end. But once we put Christ first in everything we do as Christians, then our identity will bring us closer to our Heavenly Father and further away from our identity in this world. This is important in showing Christ's love to those who need to know Him as their personal Savior. Whenever you're drawing yourself closer to God, you are showing God's love to everybody. It doesn't matter what kind of a bad day you're having, what is going on in your life or anything like that. People will be able to tell that there is something different in you. They will. And those who are lost, those who do not have Christ as their personal Lord and Savior of their life, will see that difference in you. They'll see that difference in me. As long as we are continuing to draw ourselves closer to God, they will. There's no doubt. It doesn't matter, you know, if the sun is shining or the day is rainy, you will be different. Amen. I will be different. And the thing is in a world that we live in today, people need to see that difference. So if you found your place in the Bible, if you have found your place in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 11, please stand as we read God's Word this morning. Please stand. Ephesians 1, starting with verses 3 and going through verse 11. Blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of this world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good pleasure of his will, to the praise of glory of his presence, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are of heaven and which are on earth, in him, in which also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of his works, all things according to the counsel of his will. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the blessing of today. And Lord, we just thank you for this time, this short time that we have, just spending time together in fellowship with one another, Lord. Lord, as we approach this question of who are we, Lord, I just ask that you would have me decrease and you increase, Lord. And Lord, as we go through this message today, Lord, I just ask that if there was anybody here who needs to hear this message, Lord, because I know I need to hear it. I need to hear it every day. Lord, I just ask that you would work within them, Lord. Lord, if there's somebody here who does not know your Son as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I just ask that you would again draw them closer to you, Lord. Lord, if there's somebody here that just needs to come up today, later on when we give the invitation, just to rededicate their life, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you would draw them closer to you, Lord. Lord, just ask that you would just continue to work in this service, Lord. Lord, just be with me. Lord, lead me, guide me, and direct me in all we do and all we say. And all God's people said, amen. All right, so seeing that we potentially have big life changes, seeing that may be going on in our life, we know that if we are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, we have a testimony. We have a living testimony to anybody who needs to see this living testimony and lived out through our lives. If we have a testimony, if we have seen something, or if you have seen something just like what we saw with the video or the movie that Laura and I have watched and a few other in here have watched, or if you read any scripture, sometimes, again, like I said, there will be an overflowing of the Holy Spirit. Each one of you as Christians, there should be an overflowing of the Holy Spirit in anything and everything that you come in contact with. And you should want to share. You should want to give that testimony. You should want to talk to that person who needs to see whatever God may be trying to show them in their lives. And then by doing that, you got to make sure that you are staying attuned to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you have to make sure that you are trying to share this. But the thing is when I looked at the scripture here and in the time that I took to look at the scripture, I saw about 3 points that I'm going to discuss today that really stuck out to me. There's probably a bunch of subpoints under each one of these 3 points, but the thing is this is derived directly from the scripture. If you read the scripture, when we read the scripture and when we talk about the points that are here, it should be something that is just gets a hold of you, that causes you to have or potentially see something that God is trying to point out in your life about your identity in Him. And so the first point that I brought up that I thought that kind of showed us that that was really important to this the scripture that we read here today was that we are whole. You are whole. And that can be seen in verses 3 and verses 4. And we just got done reading the scripture, so I'm not going to read it. But the thing is, you know, in some way, sitting here today, you may feel like you are not whole. Or you may feel like you are partially filled. You know, I don't know where you're at. Only God knows your heart. But the thing is if you are feeling some type of emptiness or completely empty sitting here today, then that is probably the Holy Spirit working on you and telling you, hey, get right with God, number one. Number two is telling you, hey, draw closer to me because I am going to show an enormous amount of work that's going to be done in your life. And the thing is like I said earlier, we have to stay attuned to that. The reason why we are whole is because God has blessed us. If you look here in verse 3 here, it says, you are blessed. Verse 3 says, blessed be to God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings, and this is one of the things that I wanted to talk about here with this point here. You are blessed. You being here, sitting here today, are blessed. Amen. The spiritual blessings, though, because that's what is pointed out in verse 3 here, may not be the physical blessings. Let's think about that for a minute. Because a lot of times, and in a lot of churches today, this is being very misinterpreted. Well, God, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, He is in my life. I know Him and He knows me. And God should be blessing me. Why am I going through this trial? Why am I going through this hardship? Why am I broke? Why do I not have the things that God tells me here in the Bible? That's because God clearly said in verse 3 here, spiritual blessings. Amen. He did. He said spiritual blessings. He didn't say physical blessings. When you look at the verse. And those spiritual blessings are things that we're going to approach and we're going to talk about and we're going to continue to look at as we continue to go through some of the things here. But that's the one thing that I wanted to point out to you is it says, in Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It's not always a physical blessing. Because just as most of you all have heard before and just as most of you all talked about before, because I've heard you talk about it and I've talked about it too. The thing is God may be having you go through a trial because He is trying to bring you closer to Him. Amen. If He's trying to bring you closer to Him, it's because we've kind of wandered off. And if we've wandered off, we just need to get closer to Him, and He wants us to get closer to Him. He wants to continue to be closer to us. Whether it's through a storm that you may be going into, a storm that you're in right now, or a storm that you have come out of, He is trying to draw you closer to Him. Because He is going to spiritually bless you. But the second way that we know that we are whole is because you have been chosen. If you look at the first part of verse 4 here, it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, He has chosen you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has chosen you. Amen. And because He has chosen you, wants you to become closer to Him. And by you becoming closer to Him, you are becoming whole. You are becoming whole. Amen. And you are whole because you have been chosen by Him. Amen. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not that of yourself. It is a gift of God. Amen. Here it says that it is not of yourself because we have been chosen. And we have to be reminded about this every single day. You know how you remind yourself about this? Spend time in His Word. Spend time on your knees in prayer. Spend time just constantly communicating with Him. And He will continue to remind you that you are chosen. The third way that we know that we are whole here is because you are seen without blame. And right here in verse 4b, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We are blameless, found without fault because of Jesus Christ. His love for us and His blood that was shed for us on the cross is the reason why we are found blameless. If we have a relationship through Him, that doesn't mean that we can continue to sin over and over again. Because if you are sinning over and over again in your life, we are going to sin, but if you are continuing to choose to sin in your life, the thing is you probably need to get back right with God because there will be the Holy Spirit. There will be conviction of the Holy Spirit that will tell you that you need to find your way back towards God because you are finding your way far from Him at this time. So you need to make sure that that you are continuing to seek him, because you are seen without blame. And the reason why you're seen without blame is because the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Jude 24 states, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Also, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You are blameless. You are without blame. You are whole because you are blessed. You are whole because you are chosen. You are whole because you are seen without blame. I'm not going to lie. That gets me excited. Because at times when I feel like there may not be, I may feel a little empty. The thing is I just try to get a little bit fuller. And we struggle. I know we all do. I do too. We struggle with trying to stay completely full, completely whole in God. But the thing is because, like I said, because we are blessed, we are chosen without blame. That should be something to get excited about. So not only are you whole, but you are loved. In verses 5 through 7, the first part of 7, you are loved. John 3:16, and many of y'all can quote this, and if you want to talk about it while I'm talking about it, or while I'm quoting it, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." It didn't say whatsoever. It said whosoever believes in him shall not perish but everlasting life. Tell me that God does not love you today. I want somebody to stand up and tell me that God does not love you today. Just by that scripture that we heard, the scripture that I just quoted, John 3:16. He sent his only son. He sent his only son to come down to this earth, to walk among us, to talk among us, to see, make miracles, or perform miracles, you know, minister to us. He came down here, and you know what? He got on that cross for us. Amen. And he shed his blood for us. And there's a reason why he did that. It is all out of love. Amen. It's because he loved us. But one of the things you need to think about is, how much do you love him? And that's a perfect, I'm asking that question right now because that's kind of what the question was that was being asked on the video. Is God first in your life? Because if he's first in your life, you know, that love that you are going to have for him is going to show. Or are you going to be Alex Kendrick sitting there when the guy asks him, "Hey, did you pray for me?" "Well, no." You know, how much do we love our Heavenly Father? You want to know why we're loved? We are loved because if you look here in verse 5, it says, "You have been adopted." Verse 5 says, "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." We have been adopted, and that's why we know we are loved. So I want to paint this for you real quick. 15-year-old Matt Hash was helping out with a Boy Scout camp when we lived up in Alaska. I was actually one of the instructors up at a Boy Scout camp helping out when I was 15. I was already an Eagle Scout. I got an opportunity to go up to Boy Scout camp, and I was up there and I was helping out. And my mom and dad drove up, and it was probably about an hour, hour and a half away from where we lived down in Fort Greeley, Alaska. And they came up to pick me up because we kind of had the weekend off. And I'm walking with my mom. My mom's walking with me, and she goes, "Hey, I got something to tell you." And I said, "Are you adopting?" Because my parents had been talking about adopting a child. And I had me, my brother Sparky already, but they had been talking about adopting another child, and they had had a hard time trying to do this. And sure enough, something happened where one of the soldiers who wanted to give up her child had asked my dad if we wanted to adopt brother Josh. 15 years old. I was kind of like, "Ah, this is cool. You've been talking about this for a while, and you're going to adopt now you kind of sprung this on me because this was like all out of the sudden, out of the blue. So I was like, oh, this is cool and all that. I bring this up because looking at this passage here, it says we have been adopted. You know, my mom and my dad adopted my brother Joshua. They also adopted my brother Christian. And I can say this, they're in their mid to late 20s, and they've been told, you know, so it's not like we're trying to hide this from them. I know this will show up on YouTube, so we're not trying to hide this from them or anything. But the thing is I wanted to bring this up as an example because I remember the day that we drove to the courthouse to finalize the adoption for my brother. I was 15 years old. My dad was a military service member and a pastor in a church. And a lot of times I never had an opportunity to really see a lot of emotion out of my dad. But the day that we were walking to the elevator and we got into the elevator, I saw my dad cry. He grabbed us as a family, holding on to my newly adopted brother, and he was crying, and I was shocked. But the thing is, he was showing emotion for this baby boy that he was bringing into our family. And some of you all have adopted, and you know what that emotion is like bringing a child into your family. You do. Or some of you all have been adopted and know what it's like to be into a family. Well, you know what? I bring that up. The reason why I bring that up is because I can only imagine what God's emotion is whenever we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. It clearly says in the Bible that the angels are rejoicing over one that comes to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, I'm sitting there watching my dad cry. I can only imagine that our Heavenly Father, even though it says there will be no tears in heaven, I can only imagine seeing my Heavenly Father crying because I have said, Lord, I want to accept you into my heart. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I am tired of living this life, and I want to be adopted. And he is standing there going, all right, we did it. We've done it. But that's just, you know, that's just the beginning here of why we know that we are loved. You know, the verse that I was referencing was Luke 15:10, where it says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. God loves us because we have been accepted. If you read in verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. We have been accepted no matter what. And you have been accepted today no matter what. It doesn't matter what you've got going on in your life right now. If you're sitting there in that pew and you're thinking, man, I cannot come up here. I cannot accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. God says, just come as you are. Amen. He does. And that's what he wants you to do. You know, one of the things about being accepted too is people will fail us, but God never will. There may be times in your life where you have felt like other people have failed you. There may be times in your life right now that you feel like other people have failed you. Because we have been accepted by God, God will never fail us. So not only have we been adopted, not only have we been accepted, but we have also been redeemed. In verse 7a, it says, first part of verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood. And again, it's all about what we talked about earlier. It's all about his blood. We have redemption through him. And you know what? Redemption started way before the manger, and it still goes on today. It does. It doesn't matter what you have going on in your life. And like I said, God is asking you to come. God was thinking of you before he sent his son to be born in the manger. God was thinking of you. Jesus Christ was thinking of you when he was on the cross. And they are still thinking of you today. And when I say they, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. They are still thinking of you today. And it doesn't matter what you what dirty rags you think you're dragging around behind you, what dirty rags that you may be wearing right now in your life, God's blood can cover. Amen. Are we whole? Not only are we loved, but the last part here, and this should be the thing that gets you most excited. You are His. Verses 7, the second part of verse 7 through verse 11, you are His. And you know what? The reason why it should get you excited is because nothing can change this. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, nothing can change this. There is nothing. Satan cannot pluck you out of Jesus, out of God's hand. Amen. He can't do that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And you just gotta... You should be excited. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be running through the church like Brother Ronnie did. I don't need... I'm not... These jump boots right here, I bought them when I first came to Fort Bragg in 1998, and they're slick. And being on this carpet, I may fall. But the thing is we should be excited.
Amen.
We should be excited because we are His. I was waiting on that. Everybody else does it for Mike, but whenever anybody else comes up here to say that, it's like, I'm excited too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should be excited. You know the reason why? First of all, the reason why we should be excited is because we are forgiven.
Amen.
When you look at the second part of verse 7 right here, it says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Jesus came to wipe away all sins, and that was wiped away by the price that He paid on the cross. Jesus took our place. So I want you to think about this for a second as I read through this. Jesus took our place. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. There you have it. We have all sinned. We are guilty before God, and because of our sin, we are worthy of death. That's what these two verses say. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. It's not just a physical death, but a spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God, as highlighted in Matthew 25:46 and John 3:36. We are justly condemned for our sin, and the just punishment is quite severe. But you know what? Because we're forgiven, Jesus Christ is our advocate.
Amen.
And it says in the scripture that He's our advocate in 1 John 2, verses 1. He is essentially our defense attorney, and I know many of y'all have probably heard this before, but I just wanted to reemphasize it this morning. Jesus recognized our sin and its penalty and decided to come in our defense. He offered Himself in our place. He took the punishment that we deserve. He told the judge to punish Him instead, despite the fact that He had not sinned. If we place our trust in Him, our sins are forgiven, and we are freed from the eternal consequences of our sins. In the language of the legal system, if you accept Jesus' offer to be your defense attorney, you will not be found guilty. And that's clearly what the verse here says when we have the forgiveness of His sins. But one of the other things that you need to think about, because if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there is another defense attorney that's out there. And any other defense attorney when it comes to your heavenly home, or when it comes to after you pass away, if there is any other defense attorney that's out there other than Jesus Christ, you will be found guilty. Where we are found innocent in Jesus, we will be found guilty in anything else. So some of you all may be asking, how do we become His? It's simply by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. With everything that we've been talking about here and everything that I'm going to finish up here soon with, it should get you excited. It should make you, I mean, like I said, I run on the carpet, I may fall, but it should make you want to run to Jesus' feet.
Amen.
It should, because we are forgiven. But not only are we His, are we forgiven, we are known. The second part of the verse here, for the second point is, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. God knew you before you were born. He knows every aspect of you and wants to have a relationship with you. And He wants to be able to show you in this relationship with you the will for you in your life. There may be times that you are struggling. There may be times that you are wondering. If you come to the Sunday night Bible study, we've talked a little bit about in Deuteronomy and about the wandering around that the Israelites did. Laura likes to use the example because there are times in my life where I feel like I'm running into the same person at the same job or at a different job and running into the same person and having the same friction with that person or being... My feelings are that same way towards that person, even though that person's a different person in my life. And she's like, you know, hey, number one, have you given it to God? Number two, do you think God is working on you? And are you having that exodus, you know, wandering in the desert? Because God is trying to point you back towards Him. She's asked me that a few times, more than a few times. I'll give you credit for it, babe. But the thing is we got to think about that. Are we wandering around in our lives? Do we feel like we're a little lost because we are wandering around in our lives through the desert, just like the Israelites were doing before they moved into the promised land? But He knows us. And one of the reasons why I brought up the thing concerning the Israelites is because the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ can't just be one-sided. It can't be God, hey God, you know, God trying to know us and we're not trying to know Him. It can't be that way. We have to come to know Him just as much as He wants to know us, which He already knows everything about us anyways. Some of us may be losing a hair on our head, but the thing is He knew how much we had when we had a full head of hair. He knows how much we have now. You know what I mean? He knows us. He knows every aspect. He knows what you're going to think about and what you're going to do an hour from now, 2 hours from now, tomorrow. He knows. We may not know, but He knows. American Reformed pastor and author John Piper wrote this following quote, "Deeper than knowing God is being known by God. What defines us as Christians is not most profoundly that we have come to know Him, but that He has took note of us and has made us His own." So we are known. So not only are we forgiven because we're His, not only are we known because we are His, but we have an inheritance. If you look in verse 11, it says clearly, we have an inheritance. In Him we have also obtained an inheritance. And it may not be an inheritance here on earth. It may not. It's not going to be an inheritance here on earth. Some people are blessed with riches here on earth. Some people aren't. Some people are given enough just to get by. It's not an earthly inheritance. It's our heavenly inheritance. And we have to make sure that we clearly understand that. Things of this world will fade, and we are only here for a short amount of time. 1 Peter 1:4 describes the inheritance further by saying that we have been born again into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you. According to the Apostle Peter, our inheritance is distinguished by four important qualities here. Our inheritance in Christ is imperishable. It is. Amen. What we have in Christ is not subject to corruption or decay. Our inheritance in Christ is unspoiled. What we have in Christ is free from anything that would deform, debase, or degrade. Our inheritance in Christ is unfading. What we have in Christ is an enduring possession. Our inheritance in Christ is reserved. What we have in Christ is being kept in heaven for us. Your crown of glory has a name on it. And your name is written on that crown of glory the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is. That's the reason why our inheritance, whether we think it's going to be small or whether we think it may be big, our inheritance in Christ is already big. And the reason why our inheritance in Christ is already big is because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we are going to heaven. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that should be anything and everything to get excited about. Amen. It should be. Our inheritance and the fact that we know that we know, we can't be plucked from His hand, that we have a Lord who is going to be leading, guiding, and directing us through this life. Sometimes we do go off on our own. We do. And then God course corrects us. But the thing is we have an inheritance. And it is our heavenly home. And nothing can take that away from you. In closing, so as I have asked you here, this one simple question, who are you? Is it defined by you and your relationship with Jesus Christ, or is it defined by you and your relationship in the world is really what we're trying to get at here. If you are a child of God, the thing that I want you to remember is do not let this world define who you are. One of the other things that I want you to think about here is how has your identity in Christ changed you? If you are a child of God, but you have not felt as close to Him lately, or maybe you are questioning who you are, this altar is open. This altar is open. As we get ready to get into our time of invitation here, this altar is open. If God is calling you, then don't ignore Him. Come, and just as I mentioned earlier, come just as you are. Maybe you do not have a relationship with Christ today, but want to come to know Him or who you can be in Christ. Today is the day because, as I mentioned earlier, right now is promised, but we don't know if 30 minutes, we don't know if an hour, we don't know if 2 hours or a day from now is promised to us. We don't know that because it clearly tells us in the Bible. We don't know the hour. We don't in our own lives. It doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter where you are in your life today or what you have done. If God is calling you, then He wants you to come. Don't worry about what others think. Just come. If you want somebody to come with you, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you're visiting this church and you're feeling the call of the Spirit this morning, there is many other people. Somebody's probably invited you too. Grab your friend. There is somebody, if you have somebody that you have a relationship with in this church, grab them. Bring them up to the altar. Have them pray with you. Bring them up and see one of the deacons. Bring them up and see me. Bring them up and see Brother Ronnie. Today is the day.
Amen.
You're exactly right, sir. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Again, as I brought up before, so if you've been snoozing on me right now or you got somebody beside you snoozing, right now is a good time to give them a good old elbow jab and all that. Because what I said earlier about, you know, like I like to emphasize at the beginning and the end, once we put Christ first in everything we do as Christians, then our identity will bring us closer to our Heavenly Father and further from the identity in this world.
Amen.
This is important in showing Christ's love to those who need to know Him as their personal Savior. So who are you? Who are you? I don't need you to answer out loud, but as you bow your heads right now, who are you? Just think about that question. Maybe there's somebody who's here today who feels like God has been a little bit further away from them than they've really wanted him to be and all that. I'm going to be the first one to tell you that God hasn't moved, you have. You're maybe feeling the Spirit that is calling you to come up here just to spend some time at the feet of Jesus. When the song's playing, if you feel like coming up here, just come. Just come. There may be somebody who's here today, and I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. This is between you and God. But there's maybe somebody here today that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior. It's not just a simple prayer, because if the Holy Spirit is really convicting you, there will be a 180-degree turn in your life, and God is going to continue to bless you, just as I've talked about here in the sermon today, that it's going to be a spiritual blessing. You have a spiritual inheritance. Maybe you want that to be feel whole, to feel loved, and to know that you are His. I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie if he'll come and stand up here. The deacons are going to be standing on each of the sides. Maybe you want to come and talk to one of us and let us point you to having that close and personal relationship in your life. I don't know. He knows your heart, and He knows you. And all He wants to do is come to know you more, because He wants you to know Him more. So as everybody's been thinking about that question, who are you? I'm going to ask everybody if you'll go ahead and stand. We're going to play our invitational song here, and we're just going to sing along with the invitational song. But as the invitational song is playing, you're going to hear it, "Just as I am." He wants you to come just as you are.